Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Homage to the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Supremely Enlightened One. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Many people, when they try to explain what the Buddha taught, will wrongly accuse the Buddha of saying that everything was suffering. Right? We'll hear that. What the Buddha said, life is suffering. Everything is suffering. And he never said that. He said something much more subtle, something much more profound, something much more true, right? Because if someone were to say to us, everything is suffering, we'd have to disagree with them, right? A nice meal is not suffering. That's actually pretty nice, right? That there's countless things that bring happiness. So one of the ways that the Buddha explained his teaching was by analyzing three different factors. And he uses this method throughout his teachings to help us see reality more clearly. So tonight we'll listen to three rather brief suttas. They're found in the numerical discourses of the Buddha. So three things, third chapter. So, addressing the monks, he says, Bhikkhus, before my enlightenment, while I was just a bodhisattva, not yet fully enlightened, it occurred to me, what is the gratification in the world? What is the danger in it? And what is the escape from it? So, these three factors. What was the first one?
Gratification.
Second one?
Danger.
And the most important one?
Escape.
So he thought, what is it in the world that's gratifying? What's the danger in those gratifying things? And how do we escape from that danger? Right? Because everybody wants to escape from danger. The problem is we may not know what the danger is. Right? And we may not recognize all the things that are gratifying in the world. So he says, then, bhikkhus, it occurred to me, the pleasure and joy that arise in dependence on the world, this is the gratification in the world. So the pleasure and joy, right? The world can bring us countless pleasures, countless joys, right? That through our five senses, and even through our mind, the sixth sense, we can experience all kinds of pleasure. Right? Very simple pleasures, a nice cup of coffee, right? All the way to just incredibly mind-blowing pleasures, right? Beautiful things to look at, beautiful scenery, beautiful places, right? Because it's not just the little objects in our lives, but you know, going to beautiful places, right, that are very peaceful, that have nice scenery, right? It's nice, right? It's a pleasure, especially as the winter, right, gets longer and longer, right? Those beautiful warm places, right? We think about them, and we think about the pleasure that comes with them. When we have a beautiful place to live, right? It gives us happiness, right? We have a secure, safe place. We can make ourselves happy. We can make our friends happy. We can make our families happy, right? By sharing the good things that we have. We can bring joy to people's lives. The Buddha said, all these things are sources of happiness in the world, and that this happiness is real. Right? It's not imaginary. We experience it. But then we have to think about the next factor. What was the next factor?
Danger.
The danger. Yeah. So the Buddha says that the world is impermanent, suffering, and subject to change. This is the danger in the world. Right? So all these things that bring us happiness and joy, impermanent. Right? The only happiness and joy that's not impermanent is the happiness of Nibbana. Right? Because it's not conditioned. Right? It's the removal of conditions. But all of these material things, right? At some point they didn't exist. At some point they won't exist again. No matter how delicious the meal is, by the time it's down our throats, it's changed completely. Right? Even someone takes a drink from our glass, and maybe the delicious thing in the glass doesn't seem so delicious anymore. Right? It's changed. Right? That there is suffering when we experience these changes, when we have to be separated from the people that we care about, when we have to associate with the people that we don't like. Right? As monks, we're very fortunate that we're usually surrounded by, you know, very kind people, people who are very nice to us. Right? But still, we walk out the door of the monastery, and people can be very unkind, right? even to monks. So, this happiness that comes from things, even the happiness that comes from very special mental states, right? When we do loving kindness meditation, right? There's happiness in that. There's joy. There's pleasure in that. But when we stand up, right, and go out to the car and get in the traffic, right? That happiness that we got from the loving kindness meditation, it's gone, right? We get home and we see that the kids are still up, or that they've left their, you know, dirty dishes all over the living room, right? And that happiness that came from the meditation might be just a distant memory, right? Because even the happiness that comes through meditation, it's conditioned, right? There's certain factors, even deep meditation, right? Even extremely subtle meditations. They happen because of conditions. Right? And that when those conditions change, then that meditation changes. The results, the immediate results of the meditation disappear. Right? And people even become attached to the to meditative experiences. Right? It's very easy to do that. Maybe we go on a retreat, or just we're sitting at home meditating, and suddenly our mind is extremely calm, extremely peaceful. Right? We have just this very pure joy in our minds from the meditation. And then the next time we sit down to meditate, and the mind's just, you know, going. And we think, oh, I wish I had that, you know, that pleasant mental state again, right? Because we can even get attached to the pleasant mental states. It's better to be attached to a pleasant mental state than something physical, right? Because at least the mental state's within our own power. But and the Buddha said, meditate, don't be concerned about getting attached to those things. But we see that it does happen. Right? And the pleasure and the joy that came from that deep meditative state disappeared. Right? This is the danger. That when we build our happiness on these things that change, then our happiness has to change. Right? If we, you know, people will say, well, I'm not attached to things, I'm more attached to people. Right? Okay, well, that's better, right, in a way, because your house burns down and you're very clear. You know, those are just things. At least nobody died. Right? But maybe your house burns down and somebody does die. Right? And then we see that although we thought that we had this sort of, that we were more evolved, that we weren't, you know, like an ordinary person attached just to things, but we see that when those people change, terribly painful, right? Terribly painful. Once, the Upasaka Visakha. So Visakha, remember who Visakha is? So Visakha was the chief female benefactor for the Sangha. She gave the Eastern Monastery in Savatthi. So Anathapindika gave Jeta's Grove, and she gave the Eastern Monastery, Pubbarani. And she, the epitome of generosity. She was always thinking about giving. And she frequently went to take care of the Buddha and the monks and to learn Dhamma. She was also a stream entry. Very devout, many, many good qualities. And one day she went to see the Buddha, and one of the grieving practices at that time was to keep your hair wet, to go out in public with your hair and your clothes wet. And so the Buddha asked her, so what's happening? Why do you look like this? What's going on? And she said, Venerable Sir, I'm very, very sad. One of my grandchildren has passed away. And the Buddha said, oh, you must love your grandchildren very much. And she says, yes. If I could have as many grandchildren as there are people in Savatthi, I would take that many grandchildren. I love having grandchildren so much. And then the Buddha asked her, well, tell me, Visakha, how many people die every day in Savatthi? Savatthi was a big city, very large city. And she said, you know, sometimes 10 people die in one day. Some days it's 9, 8, but at least one person dies every single day in Savatthi. So the Buddha says to her, whoa. Would you like that? If you had that many grandchildren, every single day one of them would be dying. Maybe two would die, three would die. And that was enough to sort of make things click in her mind. And she said, yeah, you're right. Grandchildren? Yeah, they're not all they're cut out to be. Right? There's suffering tied up with these grandchildren. And Buddha said, yes, that's exactly how it is. If you have 100 dear ones, then you have 100 sufferings. If you have 90, you have 90. Right? Even if you only have 10 loved ones, then you have 10 sources of suffering. Even if you just have one, still, that person is one source of suffering. So, the Buddha said, this fact that things in the world are impermanent, subject to change, tied up with suffering, that's the danger. Right? That if we had 1,000 grandchildren, we'd always be mourning the loss of one of them. So then the third factor?
Escape. Yeah.
And that's the good news. Right? That's the Buddha's good news, is that there's a way out of the danger. He says, the removal and abandonment of desire and lust for the world, this is the escape from the world. So removing, abandoning, desire and lust. So when the Buddha uses this word lust, in English we tend to associate that just with sexuality. But that's just one of the stronger ones, that this desire and lust can be for anything pleasurable. Right? Even refined things. Right? The Buddha says that even if someone develops their mind, even if they become a stream enterer or a once returner, that as long as they still have just the subtle little bit of desire for these pleasant mental states, they take rebirth again. Right? So, if the Buddha says we even have to give up our attachment to these totally blameless, pure mental states, right, then how much more do we have to give up our attachments to these physical things, these material things that may not even last a week, right? May not even last till it gets swallowed down our gut, right? That as long as we have this grasping, this desire, right? As long as we have the desire, we won't be happy until we get it, right? It's not a peaceful state of mind. And then once we get it, right, we have to worry about it. We have to worry about protecting it. Right? You get that, you know, you plan and you save and get the nice new car, right? And then what do you worry about? Well, am I parking too close, right? You look in the parking lot and you see the people with the really nice cars, right? Parked all by themselves, right? Far off from the, you know, in the mall, they're all the way at the edge, right? See, they can't even use their car to get them all the way close to the door, right? They're so concerned about it getting scratched, right? Or sometimes they're so, you know, you all know this, so you double park, right? So you take up two parking spaces. The really nice cars do that, right? How greedy they are, not just for a nice car, but they even want to take over more space in the parking lot. Why? Because they're attached, right? But clearly, it's not bringing them ultimate happiness, right? Because if just having the car was pure happiness, then they'd park anywhere, right? They'd drive right up into the crowd, right? But no, you're thinking, what could happen to the car, right? Or you see that people put the blankets over their cars, right? Right? And, you know, we take care of our things, of course. That's a normal thing, but, right? There's something going on there when we care so much just about the paint, right? The blanket doesn't protect anything but the paint, right? And what does a paint matter? We can still drive fast, right? It's still comfortable, but no. Like, the car has to be perfect for that happiness to really happen, right? Because they come back and there's a big scratch, right? Not happy. Not happy. That's for sure. Then the Buddha says, "So long, bhikkhus, as I did not know as they really are, the gratification in the world as gratification, the danger as danger, and the escape from it as escape. I did not claim to have awakened to the unsurpassed perfect enlightenment in this world, with its devas, Mara, and Brahma, in this population, with its ascetics and Brahmins, devas, and humans. But when I directly knew it, when I directly knew as it really is, the gratification in the world as gratification, the danger as danger, and the escape from it as escape, then I claimed to have awakened to the unsurpassed perfect enlightenment in this world. The knowledge and vision arose in me. Unshakable is my liberation of mind. This is my last birth. Now there is no more renewed existence." So we get these different ways that the Buddha talks about his enlightenment, right? Sometimes he'll talk about the experience under the tree and the three knowledges that he developed, right? Sometimes he'll just take us through, right? This very short version, very true, very deep, very profound, but a different way of telling, right? That the Buddha talks about things in different ways from different sides to help us. So the next, and that was all. That was the discourse. The next one, he says, "Bhikkhus, I set out seeking the gratification in the world. Whatever gratification there is in the world, that I found. I've clearly seen with wisdom just how far the gratification in the world extends." So we know that the Buddha experienced incredible happiness, even in his human life, in his last human life, right? That we know from many, many births, the Buddha was developing conditions that would allow him to become a Sammasambuddha, someone who sees the truth of the world themselves without a teacher, and not only that, but can share these teachings with others. So in the course of doing all this good karma to lead to that, right, he perfects many different virtues, and many of them lead to great material happiness, right? That he practiced generosity to the highest level, even giving up his own body in many lives. Right? That the result of these things, great material happiness. So in his last human birth, he experienced nothing but pleasure for the early part of his life. And in previous births, in the heavenly realms, unimaginable sensual pleasures. Right? So he knew that he had experienced every kind of pleasure that there was, but they didn't last. He says, "I set out seeking the danger in the world. Whatever danger there is in the world, that I found. I have clearly seen with wisdom just how far the danger in the world extends." So with his developed mind, right, he was able to see how beings suffer. He was able himself to experience terrible suffering with the body, right, in this the methods that he thought would be helpful, that many other people in India thought would be helpful, almost destroying the body completely, right, through fasting, through laying on a bed of thorns, right, through not bathing, through bathing constantly, right? he said that that there was no one who had perfected these torturous practices more than him. And through his enlightenment, he saw, right, that as happy as material things may make us, they're tied up with this danger. He says, "I set out seeking the escape from the world. Whatever escape there is from the world, that I found. I have clearly seen with wisdom just how far the escape from this world extends." So he realized the solution to the problem, right? That we have to give up these desires and attachments, and he found the way to do that, the Noble Eightfold Path, that it's not just something to be wished for, but something that we can actually develop in our lives. That it's not just a theory, but it's something that we do, little by little. Right? That to whatever degree we can let go of our attachments, to that degree we get a little bit of happiness. Right? So maybe we decide, okay, the paint on the car, I'm not going to care about that. Right? And so then, when the car gets dinged, no problem, right? It's just a car. Right? Many people, when they experience great loss, right, then they start to see, yeah, all these things that I cared about so much, they're not really bringing me happiness. Right? So then the Buddha says again, "So long, bhikkhus, as I did not directly know as they really are, the gratification in the world as gratification, the danger as danger, and the escape from it as the escape, I did not claim to have awakened to the unsurpassed, perfect enlightenment in this world with its devas, Mara, and Brahma, in this generation with its ascetics and Brahmins, its devas and humans. But when I directly knew as it really is, the gratification in the world as gratification, the danger as danger, and the escape from it as escape, then I claim to have awakened to the unsurpassed, perfect enlightenment," and so on. "The knowledge and vision arose in me, unshakable is my liberation of mind, this is my last birth, now there is no more renewed existence." So, second discourse. And then the third, he takes a slightly different angle. He says, "Bhikkhus, if there were no gratification in the world, beings would not become enamored with it. But because there is gratification in the world, beings become enamored of it." So, clearly, he says, if there wasn't pleasure and joy in the world, people would never get attached to those things, right? If they didn't bring us happiness, we wouldn't get caught, right? If there was no bait in the trap, we wouldn't walk into the trap. But he says, yeah, that gratification, it's there. We can't deny it, right? If we say, oh, everything is just an illusion, right? Some people will say that. Well, that illusion tastes pretty good, right? That illusion is really comfortable to sleep on, right? The Buddha didn't talk about things that way. He said there's nothing permanent in them, right? That they last forever, that's an illusion. But he said, no, there's good stuff out there. There's material happiness. If we didn't get happiness from other people, from things, then we wouldn't get caught. He says, if there were no danger in the world, beings would not become disenchanted with it. But because there is danger in the world, beings become disenchanted with it. So here's when danger becomes an okay thing. Right? That if there weren't problems associated with these things, nobody would ever give them up, right? If these nice things lasted forever, we'd never seek an escape from this cycle of rebirths. If our loved ones lived forever, right? Then Vishakha would have a whole city full of grandchildren. But it's because people experience that danger, right? Even the Bodhisattva, as he went on his ride through the city, right? He saw, finally, sick people, old people, dead body, right? And that was that was enough for him to say, yeah, I've had it with this cycle of rebirth. Let me find an escape. So as we're experiencing the dangers, right, as we experience that loss, that change, that separation, if we can bring to mind the Buddha's teachings, we can say, yeah, this is the good news. When we add wisdom into the situation, we can see, yeah, you know, it's painful, and this is why I have to get out. This is why I have to fix this problem. If all my happiness is rooted in these temporary things, then I'm always going to be suffering. Right? And that when we, just like when someone experiences very deep, pleasurable mental states, right? It's helpful to let them let go of their attachments to physical things. Right? When they see, there's a type of happiness separate from these nice things, right? Then those become less appealing. But for most of us, right, we can use this danger side of things, right? That, yeah, when the food spoils, when the house burns down, when we lose something that we like, right? And we notice that we're frantically searching everywhere for it. We see, oh yeah, right? This whole time I thought that was my source of happiness, but yeah, look at what it does now. And then the Buddha says, most importantly, if there were no escape from the world, beings would not escape from it. But because there is an escape from the world, beings escape from it. So again, this is the really good news. That the Buddha said, if there wasn't a way out, then no one would get a way out. Then it wouldn't be possible to have a happiness that's stable, that's secure. There would be no such thing as nibbana, as enlightenment. Right? There would be no no point in us practicing these things and giving up a Friday night, right? To remember the qualities of the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, to recollect what the Buddha was able to achieve, what others were able to achieve, to learn about the lives of the disciples. Right? There'd be no point to any of those things. If there was no escape, if there was no moving forward, then there'd be no point. And we know that even just moving forward little bit by little bit, right, giving up that attachment to things, right, giving up the attachment to peace and quiet, right, because peace and quiet, we can certainly get attached to that. Right? Someone's neighbor turns on the radio, right, and suddenly the peacefulness that we had, gone. So, little things we can practice with this, seeing the danger, right? Oh, how can I say that I was really happy if all it took was a little bit of sound for my neighbor to change that happiness? Right? So, this analysis of gratification, danger, escape, right? It's very true Right? We don't have to pretend that there isn't happiness in the world. Right? We don't have to pretend that there's something wrong with us, right? Because we get sad when things change. We don't have to think that there's no point, right, in developing wisdom, in really looking at the situation, right? Because most people, they try and solve the problem of the danger by layering on more gratification, right? When one thing isn't good enough, well, there's gratification to be had. Let's pile some more gratification on top of it. The Buddha said, ordinary people, that's the only solution that they know, is more and more. Get more and more. Right? So, tonight we've been very lucky to be able to come together with Kalyanamitta, spiritual friends, and be able to look very honestly at the world, to get this good news that there's a solution to the problem that we can work on every day, that any time we experience the danger in the world, we have the chance to work on the escape. So having listened to these teachings, these three very short but powerful suttas, may we always keep these teachings in mind. May we always be aware of the gratification in the world, the danger in the world, and the escape from the world. Through the power of all this merit, may we too one day realize the escape from this danger in the world and experience for ourselves the supreme bliss of enlightenment in this Gautama Buddha's dispensation.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.